We've been dealing with a pandemic for several months now and the many implications that's had on our lives, but how well are we coping? This is Lisa Berry, and two University of Michigan researchers recently concluded a COVID-19 coping study, and they're joining us now on 89.1 WEMU to talk about that, Dr. Jessica Finlay and Dr. Lindsay Kobayashi. Thanks for joining us here at WEMU.
Thank you very much, Lisa. We're happy to be here.
What exactly were you looking for?
So we started this study, the COVID-19 coping study, to get a better grip on how the COVID-19 pandemic is affecting mental health and well-being among older adults. And this is really important because if you think about it, the pandemic has permeated all aspects of daily life here in the US as well as around the world. And, you know, while these kinds of cases of COVID-19 hospitalizations and mortality is really kind of the most visible and direct impact on population health that we're seeing, we know that these kinds of like deep disruptions to daily life are really affecting us in many different ways. So, you know, if you think about the, you know, people often are living under shelter in place orders and under social distancing recommendations, which of course are essential to control the virus, at least in the short term, in the lack of a vaccine. But unfortunately, these have really strong and negative consequences on social isolation and loneliness, you know, access to services such as healthcare. You know, folks might be avoiding going to the doctor because of, you know, like very real fear of exposure, or, you know, lack of access to services such as grocery for high-risk individuals. It's also very stressful living through the pandemic. There's a lot of uncertainty. We don't know what the future is going to hold. And then, of course, the economic consequences. A lot of people are having their work being impacted, whether it's a job loss, a reduction in work hours, being furloughed, or reduced income. And we know that economic recessions in the epidemiological literature often have a negative effect on population mental health. So we set up the COVID-19 coping study to get a handle on some of these indirect effects or less obvious effects of the pandemic due to these kinds of wide-reaching changes that are happening in the, you know, in society and in people's daily lives, just to get better data on the mental health and well-being of older adults. And then ultimately, our goal is to try to inform public health policy and intervention to help people better cope with the stress of living through the pandemic.
Now you say older adults, what ages are we talking about?
So the study is ages 55 and above. And we know that a lot of people don't self-identify as an older person at 55.
Thank you.
absolutely. I my own parents, like, I don't want to be in this study. I'm not older. It's your grandparents who are in their 80s and 90s. And we do recognize that. But we also know that ageism is you don't turn old at some certain number. It's not the same for everyone. We feel old at different ages. And so right. We really wanted to capture the wide-ranging experiences and perspectives. In my own research in the past, for example, I've had people say, I won't live to see 65. Often those who are very marginalized and have lived very, very hard lives. And so we didn't want to exclude any voices from people who you know, wanted to have a say and to share their lives and experiences with us. So it is anything, any ages above 55, and it goes all the way up to, I believe there's a few people who are over 100 that wow. are sharing their experiences with us. Yeah, so it's a really wide range, but it gives us a chance to see also how experiences might differ if you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, all the way up to those few centenarians in their hundreds.
And you are both based in Ann Arbor. You work for the University of Michigan, correct? How many people did you survey and where were they located?
That's a great question. So we have just under 7,000 people in our study, which is really amazing. I think the actual number is 6,938. And they are from across the entire country. We have all 50 US states represented, along with the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico. And we just received, you know, a really strong and enthusiastic response to the study. And when we launched it back in early April, we honestly weren't sure what kind of response we would receive. Like, we were talking about it before we went live, and we were like, you know, if we can get 1,000 people in the study, it'll be really lucky and we'll have done really well. But I think, you know, the pandemic is really at the forefront of people's minds. And like I said, it's really permeated daily life in so many ways. And I think that people are really enthusiastic and keen to share their stories and help out with generating data so that we can better deal with the pandemic from the public health sector.
I mean, we're only a few months into this, so that's pretty quick to put the survey out and get results back already, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and this is just the first step too. So we did this, what we call a baseline survey. So this was the first one we sent out in April and May to those about just under 7,000 people. But we're also following up with people over time too. So every month, people who volunteered to be contacted again get about a 10-minute survey just to check in. How are you doing? How has life changed since last month? How are you feeling? You know, what's your mental health, physical health like? How are you coping? So we have kind of this, we have this big batch of data from the first really rapid upswing when things were happening so fast. But we know that, you know, older adults might have to shelter for a long time, or all of us. I know we're all on this call right now calling from home, for example. So we know that this is going to last a long time. So we're hoping to stay with people over the months that come for up to a year.
So I understand you have some preliminary data and you narrow down the five top causes of worry for older adults during this pandemic. Can you share some of those with us?
Yeah, that's right. So we, in the survey that we distributed in April and May, we asked people if they had any significant sources of worry or stress. And we specifically define that to mean, you know, things that are keeping people up at night or constantly on people's minds. And there was a really long list of things, as well as some kind of open-ended responses so people could share things with us that weren't on the list. And the most frequent things that came out, the most frequent source of worry was having family members or friends catch COVID-19. The second was, you know, catching it myself. The third was serious illness due to COVID-19. And these are all things that, you know, make sense. We're all very concerned with our loved ones and their health right now. The fourth most common worry was retirement savings. And the fifth was the future in general. And I think the retirement savings one makes sense. And this is part of the reason why I think it was really important to include people in their 50s and early 60s in this study as well. And because of the economic recession that's happening, you know, if folks are losing their job in those years leading up to retirement, that's a really important time to be kind of setting the foundation for retirement and making sure that you're financially stable and ready to retire. And one thing I worry about is people being pushed out of the job market early and being forced to retire early. And I don't know, I think we'll have to see how things unfold, but I worry that it may be hard for some folks to re-enter the labor market if they are approaching retirement and have lost a job in this time. So that was a concerning thing that came out. And I think something that we're going to need to focus on more broadly. And then the future, I'm uncertain about the future. I worry about the future. I think that's something that's on a lot of people's minds. It just seems really uncertain right now.
So what will you do with this information gathered in this COVID-19 coping study?
Yeah, it's a great question as well. So we are doing public talks and also things like this by being on the radio just to share resources, share some of our findings, share some ways of coping that are working for study participants. We'll also be writing up some papers that we put hopefully are published in academic journals, as well as some sort of reports to inform, you know, share this with policymakers, with community service providers. How can we help older adults through the long term of the pandemic? And we have a website where we're trying to keep everything publicly posted. So you can go to COVID-19copingstudy.com for more information and just to get in touch with us too, if you would like more detailed information.
We will definitely put that in a link to the with this interview on our website, WEMU.org. And you have more results you're expecting to reveal moving forward?
Yes. We have ongoing results. We're sort of furiously conducting statistical analysis right now on the data, and we'll be submitting papers. So any academic papers that get published will be posted on our website. We also have a newsletter that we're sending around to our study participants, and anyone from the public who's interested can also sign up to be on our newsletter. So that information is also on our website.
Can people sign up to participate in the study? Because you had nearly 7,000, or is that closed off at this time?
It's closed off now, so we just have this group that we're following. We wish we had capacity for more, but right now we're just totally overloaded. So we're staying with this group over the next course of a year, but we do hope to do more research in the future. So again, stay tuned, because this is such an important topic. It's affecting all of our lives in so many ways. So, and if you're not in the study and you want to talk to us, feel free to send us an email. We love hearing from people. We're just so fortunate that everyone is sharing with us and really banding together in this time. So we're just so grateful that we're privileged to be part of everyone's lives. And yeah, so thank you for talking with us too.
That was Dr. Jessica Finlay. And we've also been talking to Dr. Lindsay Kobayashi from the University of Michigan about their COVID-19 coping study. Thank you so much for your work. And we look forward to seeing and hearing about more results. Thanks so much for joining us here on 89.1 WEMU.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Lisa.